This is KJZZ, your news and information station in Phoenix and across Arizona. I'm Tiara Vian. Here are this week's stories you don't want to miss. This is the podcast designed to catch you up on some highlights from around the region, and thanks for listening. Here are a few of the stories for the week of January 12, 2026. Maricopa County is reporting its first measles case amid the state's ongoing outbreak. Arizona has had more than 200 measles cases since June, but no cases had been confirmed in the state's most populous county until now. Catherine Davis Young reports.
Most measles cases in Arizona's outbreak have been in Mojave County, around the remote Utah border town of Colorado City. But Pima and Coconino counties have both reported their first cases in recent weeks. Now, the Maricopa County Department of Public Health says an adult resident of the valley who had recently traveled internationally has been hospitalized with measles. The department is not reporting any public exposures and says the overall risk to the community remains low. But officials say Arizonans should remain vigilant as the extremely contagious virus spreads in the state. They say vaccination is the best protection against measles. Catherine Davis Young, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
In Tribal Natural Resources, supported in part by a grant from the Katina Foundation. Navajo Nation President Boo Nigrin made his third annual state address on Tuesday. As Gabriel Piacerazio reports, Nigrin outlined his administration's accomplishments amid ongoing efforts to remove him from office.
During his hour-long speech, Nigrin first touted energy investments from solar to coal, particularly the APS leased Four Corners power plant.
We are so, so close to making sure that that stays open till 2038, because those are hundreds and hundreds of jobs. Those are millions and millions of dollars of revenue that the Navajo Nation receives. That's coal that some of you haul and get for free from some of our chapters.
He also focused on broadband, forest carbon offsets, uranium mine cleanup, and their historic $5 billion water settlement awaiting to be ratified by Congress.
You never know, President Trump might be listening. How many of you want to get water rights in Arizona? I do.
Gabriel Pietrazio, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
And this is the Stories You Don't Want to Miss podcast. Thanks for listening.
Rio Salado College is hosting the Dash with Rio 5K and 10K Run Walk in Tempe on Saturday, April 18th. This community event welcomes runners and walkers of all levels with early bird registration for a limited time. Details at dashwithrio.com.
In business or nature news. As the valley continues to sprawl, there's a push and pull between the people and the wildlife that call this place home. It means resources, including habitats, are limited. Kathy Ritchie has this story about one effort to ensure wildlife have what they need to survive.
Laura Hackett is the wildlife biologist at Liberty Wildlife in South Phoenix. She frequently works with utility companies like APS to manage the red-tailed hawks, ravens, and osprey who may want to perch or nest on power equipment. Still, try as they might.
If the equipment's there, they're always going to come back because it's a high place. It's a good, solid place to put a nest.
So APS and Hackett's team came up with a solution. APS line workers installed a 45-foot wooden pole with a platform and perch to give birds a nesting spot near the Salt River.
We put it in a location where when you come to visit Liberty Wildlife, you can stand directly underneath it and take a look at it.
Hackett is hopeful some of the local species will eventually nest on the platform.
Then we can maybe get to watch a couple babies be hatched and born out here.
Kathy Ritchie, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
In politics news, it's still unclear how Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs and Republican lawmakers plan to pay for their dueling plans to cut taxes by hundreds of millions of dollars. From the politics desk, Wayne Shutsky reports.
Both Hobbs and Republicans have backed separate plans to amend Arizona's tax code to include some of the federal cuts signed into law by President Trump over the summer. But so far, neither side has said how they plan to pay for the cuts, which will eat into the state revenues used to pay for government agencies, state programs, and other expenses. Republican Senator J.D. Mesnard said that discussion can wait for another day, arguing it was more important to pass the tax cut package quickly to give certainty to Arizonans who need to file their taxes by April.
By passing this bill today, what we wanted to do was prioritize our taxpayer, and then we as the policymakers, once we know the revenue pie that we're working with, we'll get to work on allocating it.
Hobbs has not said how she would like to pay for her more modest tax cut plan, though she is expected to include those details when she releases her state budget proposal. Wayne Schutzke, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
And this is the Stories You Don't Want to Miss podcast. In education news, two East Valley school districts are looking to cut millions of dollars from their budgets to keep up with declines in enrollment. From the Education Desk, Bridget Dowd reports.
The Chandler Unified School District is considering an enrollment-based staffing plan to achieve a $12 million budget reduction for the next school year. It cuts about 120 employees. The Higley Unified School District has drafted several options for reducing its budget by $7.8 million. Superintendent David Lotzenheiser says for now, it's a matter of deciding how much they want to pull from their savings.
Right now, our carry forward is that's what's covering it, right? Save up for a rainy day and it's raining. So, yes, that can cover us, but at some point we would get to the point where it could not be fiscally responsible for us to maintain things the way that they are.
For now, Higley is considering plans that cut positions and prioritize saving programs like PE and art. This comes after the community rejected the district's budget override in 2025. Bridget Dowd, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
In Fronteras News, Mexico's president is calling for environmental studies of an Arizona proposal to build a desalination plant on the Gulf of California. From the Fronteras desk in Hermosillo, Nina Kravinsky has more.
Late last year, an Arizona water agency voted to consider multiple options to increase the state's supply, including a proposal to build a desalination plant on the Gulf of California. A proposal a few years ago that would have pumped desalinated water near Puerto Peñasco, Sonora, to Arizona was scrapped after concerns from the governor of Sonora. Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum pointed out this week that desalination plants generally can have environmental impacts.
Tú le quitas la sal al agua.
You take the salt out of the water, and then the problem is, what do you do with the salt, Sheinbaum says. She notes that returning it to the sea is one option and works in some cases, but that could cause problems for the Gulf of California's sensitive and biodiverse ecosystem. Nina Kravinsky, KJZZ News, Hermosillo.
And finally, from KJZZ's The Show. Former Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich has died. Here's co-host Mark Brody with a former chief of staff of Brnovich on his love for the state.
Former Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich has died. He was 59 years old. A statement from his family announced his death yesterday. A spokesperson says Brnovich died following a heart attack. Brnovich was elected AG in 2014, defeating the then-incumbent Tom Horn in the GOP primary. He went on to serve two terms in the office before unsuccessfully running for U.S. Senate in 2022. Brnovich was also nominated by President Trump to be ambassador to Serbia, the country from which his parents immigrated, but that nomination was withdrawn late last year. With me now to talk about Mark Brnovich is Joe Canefield, a partner at the law firm Snell and Wilmer. He served as chief of staff in the Attorney General's office. Joe, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Mark.
So when you think about what Mark Brnovich, like what his philosophy was, especially in the AG's office, what comes to mind for you?
Oh, well, Mark very much cared about doing the right thing for the people of Arizona. And that was what drove every decision he made. He definitely was a conservative, a lifelong conservative, and that guided his principles. But at the end of the day, it was about doing right by the people of Arizona. And he, you know, loved this state and loved the people he served.
One of the sort of categories of law that a lot of people have been talking about is his work on consumer protection lawsuits against Volkswagen and Theranos. He had a number of fairly high profile lawsuits during the pandemic about, companies that claimed they were making, kind of outrageous claims about what they could do in terms of protecting you from COVID. It seems like that kind of falls into what you were just talking about.
Yeah, that's right. The consumer protection is work was very important to Mark. That's protecting the people from fraudsters, deceptive advertising and marketing tactics by companies that, serve us all every day. And he took that work very seriously and was able to get some great results. You mentioned a few with Volkswagen and Theranos. The opioid settlement comes to mind. That was pretty significant to go after the companies that were supplying these drugs to folks and killing a lot of people. And Mark, wanted to fix that. I mean, it's still an ongoing problem, of course, but he made some great headway in that area And we're very grateful to have been a part of that.
One of the other suits that got a lot of attention while he was in office was his lawsuit against the Arizona Board of Regents, suing over the cost of in-state tuition for Arizona residents to go to the three public universities. What were the conversations like in the office? Because that was a pretty controversial move, like suing an organization that he, at least in theory, was also representing.
Yes. So that predated me. You know, remember, I was his chief deputy and chief of staff during his second term.
Right.
So that all
yeah.
happened during his first term. But of course, I'm very familiar with all that. And I think it was important to Mark to manage tuition. I mean, he felt as a former graduate of Arizona State University that Mark and I both attended Arizona State University in the 80s when tuition was dramatically lower than it is now. And I think that was always a problem that he felt needed to be addressed in the skyrocketing cost of tuition and the justifications for that. And he felt that as Attorney General, he had the public support to ask those questions, to raise those issues, and to try to get to the root problem as to why tuition was going so high. So I think that was what was driving his decision to bring that lawsuit and try to lower tuition costs.
In listening to some interviews we had done with Mark Brnovich over the years, I was listening to one today where he is, of course, a well-known Grateful Dead fan. And he talked about how when he would talk, he would not go off a set list. He really just kind of said what was on his mind in interviews. I wonder if that was kind of how he was like just sort of in the workplace also.
Absolutely 100% correct. Mark was a lifelong deadhead, as you know, and
yeah.
he wasn't scripted. You know, he would have his talking points, but he always spoke from the heart, and he connected with the people. And there, you know, something about that was special. You know, I worked for Governor Brewer as well, and mm-hmm. and she had that. And has that ability, you know, to just connect the people, they just speak directly to the people love what they have to say, love the way they say it, and articulate it. And that, you know, sort of free spirited manner of about him was what made him so wonderful.
What was that like for you as somebody who I imagine was trying to keep him on message?
Well, that was an interesting dynamic, and I'm sure some of my colleagues are listening right now. We you know, my job was to, you know, to be the taskmaster and keep the trains running. So we would go into our staff meetings, and I had a stack of information to go through that Mark referred to in colorful terms because I had, you know, had to keep. But when he tuned in and paid attention, which he always did, and focused, you know, he had a very deliberative, thoughtful approach to dealing with every issue. He wanted to be heard. He wanted everyone to be heard in the room. And we had an excellent senior team. I can't say enough great things about the people that he assembled to help and counsel him. And there were different viewpoints in that room, and he listened to them all. And you know, ultimately, you know, he was the decision maker, but it was a very thoughtful and very deliberative process.
Joe, very, very quickly before I let you go, something else that he was very well known for was his love of nunchucks. Did he ever give you a lesson?
Well, you know, it's funny you should bring the nunchucks up because that happened the first week on the job for me.
Oh, wow.
And I'd never had a direct experience with the viral video. And I'll tell you that that thing went viral.
Yeah.
And you know, some people loved it. Some people didn't like it. But at the end of the day, I think most people showed that you know, he had a human side and he had a sense of humor. And he also was a pretty talented martial artist.
Yeah. All right. We'll have to leave it there. That is Joe Canefield, a partner at the Phoenix law firm Snell and Wilmer, former chief of staff for Attorney General Mark Brnovich. Joe, thanks for your time. Thanks for helping us remember the former AG.
Thank you, Mark.
And this has been the Stories You Don't Want to Miss podcast, made possible in part by Helios Education Foundation and Alliance Bank, the Vitalist Health Foundation, the Intel Corporation, and Beach Fleischman. Thank you for listening and for your generous support. I'm Tiara Vian. This is KJZZ. Listen more, learn more, online and on the KJZZ mobile app.